Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show with your host, Greg Hill. Streaming live from WEEI.com and the Radio.com app. And now, it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
In the heat of the moment, because you're passionate and because you want to win, if you end up saying, like, people look and say, all right, he's saying I'm done with him with regard to Dorsett, or, you know, he's upset at Harry. Does that end up being something that you guys as a unit kind of understand is going to go on because you're in the heat of the battle?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are, I would never think that way, you know, I'm done with him, or, I mean, that's crazy. You know, quarterback's responsibility is to try to lead and motivate, you know, we're often the voice of, you know, a lot of situations, because first we're calling the plays in the huddle, and B, we have, you know, a lot of information because we spot the coaches and the coordinators what we're trying to do. So we're trying to motivate people and get people to play their best, and guys are trying. I got no problem with, you know, I love playing with Phil Dorsett. I love playing with Nikhil. Nikhil's, you know, working his tail off, and he hasn't had a lot of opportunity out there, and he's learning as he's going.
So Tom Brady's not done with him. He just said he was. That's how that goes. Yeah. Heat of the battle.
That's right. It's just it's the heat of the moment. Just like Asia said, it's the heat of the moment.
Right.
That was a great answer, though. That's going to be all over the country this morning. Well, Brady responding to that video that Orlovsky tweeted out.
Between that and the one of him just tying into Dorsett over Edelman's shoulder on the bench.
I actually just saw Get Up saying, what in the hell was that guy saying? And they played What Was the Question from Brady, which was kind of weird.
Hey.
Yep, so what's the question?
Tom, I don't know. I'm just trying to soften the blow. I apologize.
This is Mike from Wakefield. Hello, Mike.
Greg, good morning. Morning, crew.
Hello.
What's up? How are you, guy?
Morning. Can't wait to see you guys at the Jingle All the Way on Saturday. It's going to be a ton of fun.
It's going to be.
I bought a special Santa costume just for it.
Nice. All right,
good. Good, good, good. Good.
The dynasty is over. This is the beginning of the decline, and all the 50s out there are losing their minds because they don't know how to deal with human, like Tom Brady being human. No more supernatural. This is what it's like for the rest of the fans out there. So get used to it. This is how it's going to be. We're not going to find the next guy. We had an opportunity, two opportunities for Lamar Jackson, and I look at that as one of the biggest Belichick fails of all time. Clearly, Tom Brady has lost the room, which is why he spent 15 minutes on the phone with you guys kissing his receivers' asses trying to get back in their favor.
Wow.
You think he's lost the room with them?
No chance he loses the room. They can't. Are they okay boomering Brady in the locker room, you think? In the offensive meetings room? Okay, Boomer. Guys, you have to. Okay, Boomer.
Oh, Boomer.
No, he hasn't lost them. They're closer than we think. The problem is, closer than we think may come with another loss in their face. And next thing you know, they squeak by the AFC East. And okay, maybe they'll look better in the playoffs.
I need to remind us,
we did lose two December games last year. They did, excuse me.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't play for the team. I wish I did, obviously. I'm just
What gives you the indication that they're closer than we think?
Drugs?
I'm being serious.
Realistically. I'm sorry, Greg. What was the question?
Yep, so what's the question?
What gives me indication that... I'll tell you what it was. What gives me indication? The same thing that Belichick said, the only positive he offered in his post-game presser, they never stopped competing. Maybe, even though some of it was junk yardage towards the end of the game, they still were one batted Bolden onside kick away from getting the ball back with 50 seconds at midfield and throwing a holy hell of a scare into the Texans. So it's in them. They can do it. It's just, there's a disconnect. And if it comes together, it's going to be beautiful, but it may never this season.
Do the slow starts in all seriousness have anything to do with, you think, Steve Belichick doing the defensive game plan, and then Belichick, as we've often seen throughout these games, whether it was in Baltimore or last night in Houston, having to sort of commandeer the defense after the first quarter and try and get them set?
Why were they in zone to open the game last night?
I mean, is that an issue? Because that never used to be an issue with the Patriots, getting off to slow starts. And the way that Steve Belichick's taken over the defense, and then you see Belichick leading the defense halfway through the game saying, okay, here's what we're going to do. They just seem not prepared.
I thought them opening up in more zone was a bit suspect to begin with. I thought the offensive play calling was far more suspect in general. And I was trying to figure out, like, okay, are they in a zone because they're concerned about the vertical speed of Houston? Are they trying to contain their running backs? And it seemed like Houston just started to pick them apart a little bit. This is a man team. That they are a man defense this year. And to see them in zone was weird. And they switched things up later on. And next thing you know, John Jones gives up the same play twice, and one of them is a backbreaker of a touchdown.
Yeah. This is Frank. Hello, Frank.
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, everybody seems freaking out this morning about the loss yesterday.
Yes.
But they don't think, like, we only had a couple of little glitches. I mean, the team is still 10-2, so it's not like that we're out of everything. That game yesterday was really a tough game.
But the critics will say they're 10-2 on a junk schedule.
Right.
I mean, that's the argument.
They are.
10-2 on a junk schedule.
Well, 10-2. I mean, it's not a bad situation to be towards the end of the season.
I like Frank.
I love Frank.
I like Frank.
Echo.
Definitely.
Hey,
you're definitely doing the feast. Do you do the Feast of the 12 Fishes or whatever it is, Frank?
Do I do what?
The Feast of the 12 Fishes on Christmas Eve. What's it called,
seven.
Danielle? The seven fishes or whatever.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, Frank.
Hey, the Patriots, they're going to be out of Stanza Band. Yeah.
Frank's definitely talking to his hands in the car.
No, listen, though.
10-2 is not a...
Wiggy, it's going to be interesting to hear. It's going to be interesting tomorrow when Wiggy is in here, because Baltimore has now beaten some pretty good teams.
Yep.
Correct?
Yep. His anti-Lamar Jackson campaign might have to come to an end at some point here.
So Baltimore's, they beat Seattle.
Yep,
beat the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
They have
Patriots,
Houston. Beat Houston.
They throttled Houston.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
So that's I'm not trying to appeal to the Baltimore people who call the show all the time, but you can't deny that is a good football.
Huge team. Numbers in Baltimore. Huge.
Wiggy will be you well back into the AB talk. I'm quite sure.
Oh God, I can't.
Lots of AB talk.
Fresh. I like it.
Need some more of that. We need the Black Mac attack.
Let's see. Here's a 508 text that says, this is a new low for that dummy Curtis. Now he thinks that Steve B is creating the defensive game plan.
Is that on your business card?
That dummy
that
Curtis.
That dummy Curtis?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
TDC.
Chris Curtis, that dummy.
TDC. Hi. Rob Gronkowski, Mr. Recovery here with TDC. That dummy Andrew. Curtis.
Hi.
Hi.
TDC.
Oh,
well, do you believe that Bill got out coached last night? We touched on that a little bit earlier.
His son certainly did.
when the Texans score on their Philly special, which is a play that Hopkins and Watson literally drew up in the dirt and presented to Bill O'Brien on a napkin, the same paper that Belichick resigned from the Jets from with. They drew up that play and scored on like a high school gimmick play. Oh, God. What the hell? Yes, they did. They were outcoached by Bill O'Brien and Romeo Crennel, who they had just had their way with. Now, look, Deshaun Watson, they played 3 years in a row, threw a hell of a scare in 2017. It was 28-21 last year to open the season. Still.
Yeah,
that's a bad look for the old Billy B.
All right, we're gonna get in a moment. We're gonna get Keith Lockhart, the maestro, in here.
Yes,
we just got to take a quick break.
Dale and Keith with Wiggy later today from 10-2 on Patriots Monday. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reclaim money spent on programs not meeting your expectations. Present your receipt and receive a $100 Davio's gift card. When starting Awaken 180C website for details. Bill O'Brien, speaking of former Patriots assistant, he was giddy
Well, Bill, certainly everybody knows there's no way you're going to keep Tom Brady down for a full game. But how did your defense do what it did for 3.5 quarters? Just exceptional.
We have to finish better offensively and defensively because, you know, it's never over with him. And that was obvious there at the end. I mean, guy's a champion and he's a great player, great guy. And you just have to keep coming. You have to keep playing. You have to play the next play. You can't get down about one play. You got to play the next play. And I think our guys really tried to do that.
Former Patriot Belichick assistant finally beat Bill. 28-22 to final. They'll have the Chiefs, who are right now 3.5-point underdogs on the first lines in Vegas. 4:25 kickoff Sunday. Monday Night Football tonight, Vikings at the Seahawks. Bruins keep rolling. A 7th straight win. They beat Montreal at the Garden last night 3-1. Next up, Carolina Tuesday at 7. Celtics beat the Knicks as well. They will host Miami on Wednesday at a press conference for BC today to replace Steve Adazio, the football coach. More with the Greg Hill Show coming up.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're back with the Greg Hill Show on Boston Sports Station. WEEI.
Time of year, snow is falling. We're gonna get like a foot of snow or something later on, totally ruining the drive home. And Christmas is in the air.
Yes.
And every year we get to have the maestro with us. So Keith Lockhart is here, and good morning and Merry Christmas.
It's great to be here. Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, guys. And you know, I don't mind it like this. And I say this having been on the Mass Pike for 6.5 hours yesterday, trying to get back from upstate New York, because you know, so many times we start the holiday pops. And it's 47 degrees and raining, and it just doesn't feel particularly. Yeah. This at least looks like what we're trying to celebrate.
Yeah, White Christmas. It looks it's supposed to be this way. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to
is New England, you know. Get over it.
Now, if you could choose a musical composition to reflect the mood of Patriots fans this morning, what would that be?
Oh wow! Well, you know, the Chopin Funeral March is so unseasonable.
They're very upset. But they'll get over it.
What are you doing New Year's Eve, perhaps? Hopefully we'll still be playing.
We were
all together on the bus. Nobody had the NFL app on their phone, but we're all watching the live updates going, you know, as we drive 27 miles an hour down the pike going, well, that isn't good. Well, yeah, that's
not,
worse.
That's not good. This is not good.
Miss the extra point. Oh.
Yeah. Now, do you ever find yourself, like Tom Brady, mouthing to the flautist?
Oh, yes.
I'm done with him? Or does that ever...
I try not to be quite like that. I don't know how well people lip read, but, it's a... fortunately for me, you know, I get to face away from the audience.
Yeah.
And there are no cameras doing tight close-ups on my face, and I don't have a helmet on, so I can say all sorts of things. So you're last okay. night, actually, but I won't tell you what I said.
So you're okay playing with rookies as much as you are veterans?
Oh, sure. And people, you know, it's very similar, actually, to the football analogy. We have 130 people on stage, and all very, very good musicians, but people make mistakes. People have different levels of experience. They make rookie errors.
Yeah.
They come in where they're not supposed to come in. They get waved off by me. It's, you know,
you're throwing occasionally, things at them.
Occasionally I have to call an audible on the podium.
Oh, look at this. Yeah, see? Great. It's pretty similar. Well, you guys have this is your season. Certainly summer is as well, but tell us a little bit about what's going on this year holiday-wise.
Well, just this weekend in Providence,
defense in Schenectady, we started off what will amount to being about 50 concerts between now and New Year's Eve. And that involves, I think, 38 concerts in Symphony Hall that start on Wednesday, the Holiday Pops concerts, which so many people have made part of their holiday traditions. This year, I think the big thing is our own Boston Pops version of the Polar Express, with the images and the words of Chris Van Allsburg's book and the music from the Alan Silvestri score to the movie. And just, you know, and our sing-along, our Santa Claus, our warm relationship with Santa Claus, who always joins us. It's a great time, and we have so many people who have just made it central to the way that they celebrate the holidays. And especially this year, we're doing our first ever sensory-friendly concert in during the holiday season, which is just a chance for people who have kids with sensory receptive issues to be in a non-judgmental environment and be there with their family, enjoy things as well. And we make accommodations for that, but mostly we just hope that they will come and know that they're welcome to be there.
Keith, you're talking to, I bet you didn't know, think when you were coming into a sports radio studio that you would encounter somebody who was a soundtrack geek and a classical music geek. I listened to the Soundtrack Show podcast. I know the John Williams, you know, oeuvre, if you will, front and back. But I wanted to ask you, what's your...
I thought I'd hear the word oeuvre.
And you probably never thought you'd hear that. Yeah, catalog.
Hopefully you won't again.
Hopefully you won't again. The catalog. I love it all. Do you, I mean, I know it's got to be tough because you've been in charge of the Pops for so long, but do you enjoy talking about and playing the music of John Williams as much to this day?
You know, it's funny, and this is something that I think is 25 years of experience now talking. I enjoy it, and I enjoy it more than I did in my first couple of years here. I think just because, honestly, you walk in, you replace somebody who is the most famous composer living in the world, and you're asked to do a lot of his music. It had become over the years a big part of his repertoire, and you kind of say, well, okay, John's fine and all, but, you know, you kind of, I think there's the underlying kid, what about me sort of thing. And
yeah.
I don't feel that way anymore. I feel it's a great privilege to have followed a legend, and not only followed, worked closely with him, know him well, all those sorts of things. It's really a privilege to continue that legacy, and that legacy is an important part, not all of what we do at a Pops, but an important part of it.
For Boston Pops and John Williams nerds and movie nerds like myself, like, it's so fun to go see it in different contexts and to go to the Pops in general. But I just wanted to say it was great to see, and thanks for this amazing memory. I took my son a few months ago to see you guys do the Star Wars soundtrack live to the movie, and it was your energy and you conducting the Pops in your own way. So you brought your flair and showmanship to John Williams' score, and I took my six-year-old, and that's his favorite movie like it is mine, and it is one of the greatest nights of my life.
I mean, give the kid a chance. You're turning him right into a right Star into Wars you. Nerd. Right,
that's
right
okay. That's a good that's thing. Okay. I'm passing on the
football field.
You know, the last movie comes out soon. And
this kid can't throw if he thinks he throws it sideways.
I'll give you an exclusive then. You should know that that we're doing Empire Strikes Back next year.
Awesome.
The asteroid
awesome.
Field might be like the best piece of Star Wars music. You out there, you know what I'm talking about.
And by the way, Danielle is going to get to read the "Twas the Night Before Christmas," a lifelong dream of hers.
I'm thrilled.
Coming
thank
up.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, I have an applause track at home. I use it for myself when I get a little low. I asked her, I said, do you need any coaching? Need any help? And she said, no, I'm good, which I thought was, you know,
that's, I've been practicing this piece for years at home in front of my cats.
What's the date that you're doing it?
December 23rd at 3 p.m.
December 23rd.
Cool. Yep. The concerts during that time of the year get so much fun because you're right on, you know, right on the cusp of Christmas, and everybody's so excited and the kids are really into it. So I'm just saying, don't mess up.
I think you had.
I won't.
I believe Alex Cora did it.
Yes. He did it last year for our big corporate fundraiser in the middle of the season, supports our educational programs. And he came. We hadn't met. I knew Tito pretty well. He came quite a few times. Loved the Pops and loved coming there to speak. Didn't know Bobby V well. Alex came, had a great time, and he did the premiere. We've never done it before. He did "Twas the Night Before Christmas" in Spanish, which, you know, both paid tribute to his roots and paid tribute to the fact that of a lot of our audience, that's their primary language.
Mm-hmm. And has Bill ever done it?
Bill,
can you imagine?
Well, no, you know, actually, we have tried. I'm in touch with Bill, and and it will happen at some point. It can happen during Christmas because, as you know, he would not take a night off during this season to do that. He doesn't do anything.
Better in all three phases of Christmas Eve, gift wrapping, Santa cookies.
I have to say, you know, it'd be I'm interested to see, but I'm thinking he may come join us in the spring season sometime. I sat on the dais with Bill Belichick. I think I can tell this story out of school. We both got honorary doctorates from BU the same year. So we were there. Neither of us were the person who had to speak. So we're sitting there for seemingly hours on the stage, and he was right next to me. And on the other side of him was the Archbishop of the Greek Orthodox Church, whom he didn't have a lot in common with. So he leaned over to me, and we talked for the entire time. And I have to say, he was so funny that I was just basically I'm sitting up there in the ropes trying not to slide out of my chair laughing. Yeah.
You know? Oh, he's a funny guy. When it's not football season,
right.
He's a funny guy. He's obviously a really intelligent, very interesting guy. And I'm sure he's probably a little grumpy this morning, but, you know, we all get up and go on to the next performance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Is there a composer or someone who you would love to actually incorporate into or do during the next season of the Pops?
There's always, you know, it's with a lot of what we've done, a lot of what we're exploring over these years is film music, because it's kind of the great, along with jazz, the musical form that America brought to the table. Mm-hmm. And we've done over the years, of course, a lot of John's music, and we're starting to branch out too, because there are other great film composers and whom we don't have as close a relationship with. And really, you know, these days, so many people are into film music and into that relationship that it's a great inroad for us.
When it comes to, we were talking earlier about the most annoying Christmas song, according to a survey that mm-hmm. was done in England. And it turns out that it's Mariah Carey, "All I Want for Christmas Is You."
Well, that'll make my wife really mad.
I wanted to ask you, Keith Lockhart, what do you think the most annoying Christmas song is?
Well, let me see. Got a couple of possibilities. One of them would be, "Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer." Another one, historically, and I'm saying this to set this up in a shameless personal plug, historically, the 12 Days of Christmas, because it is our 99 bottles of beer, because you just keep repeating yourself.
Yep.
But a few years ago, we commissioned an arrangement of the 12 Days of Christmas that is like the best thing ever.
It's
the definition of showstopper.
Really? The way they do it, it's unexplainable.
It contains
so different from what you expect.
Of everything from the Can-Can to the Hallelujah Chorus mm-hmm. to Bohemian Rhapsody.
Really?
Yeah,
is just amazing. It's on our most recent shameless plug Christmas album called A Boston Pops Christmas Live from Symphony Hall. We now also, like Sleigh Ride, we play it every year. So you've got to check it out. It's really amazing.
And the theatrics too, with the Tanglewood Festival Chorus and like their
incorporation. I can't say that's the most annoying song anymore total redemption.
You're such a symphony groupie, Daniel.
My mom.
That's
and
how
I
you
have
get
been,
to narrate.
That's right? how you get
yeah.
to narrate.
You just you hang around by the back door and you wait, and then eventually they'll get sick of you asking, and they say, "Fine, pick a date." But no, my mom and I have been going every year for as far back as I can remember. This has been a holiday tradition in our family. So for me to be able to get up, you know, I've seen so many different, celebrities and local politicians and individuals from town narrate. So to be able to get up there and do it, it's kind of like, okay.
Have you ever considered getting off into doing soundtracks and establishing that legacy?
Well, you know, people all the time, confuse the roles of conductor and composer.
Composer, yes.
I'm a performer. I have practical composition skills, and people say, "Well, how's that?" I say, "Well, the same way that a director of plays knows how to write a play, because you spend your entire life looking at plays, pulling them apart, going, why doesn't this work? How can I fix this?" And so it's kind of the opposite side of the coin of the same thing. But the thing that you need to be a composer is inspiration to compose, and that I've never really had. I really enjoy taking the little black dots on the piece of paper and making them work for other people. But I've never had said, today I'll write the Great American Symphony.
I can't believe you haven't brought up the music on The Mandalorian yet.
I was going to say, he was talking about new composers.
The Mandalorian, that's the 70s Gullwing car?
Oh, right. Yes, the one from Back to the Future.
Just say, okay, boomer, and be done with it. So.
The composer Ludwig Göransson, who does The Mandalorian, also did Creed. He's an excellent composer, one of the bright young composers out there in Hollywood today. So thanks, Greg. Appreciate you. Right. Okay, boomer.
Well, listen, this is a great time of year, and it's a old tradition and one that I'm thankful we have in this city. So anybody wants information on any of the holiday stuff, where should they go, Keith?
Go to very easy, bso.org, bso.org, or bostonpops.org, and that's the best way to get information on seat availability and all the offerings between now and New Year's.
All right. Great to see you. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
And all that stuff. And we'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. Oh, bring us a figgy.
All right, Wiggy's here. Wiggy, how are you? Merry Christmas.
Listen, who cares? I'm like Tom Brady today. I'm more frustrated than Wiggy. Yes, frustrated. Yeah. Frustrated at watching that. Horrible, horrible performance last night offensively.
What are they going to do?
Short of basically, you know what? I don't know if you ever seen the movie. I believe it's Pelham.
The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I am on that train right now, and that train is AB, and we're headed straight to wherever. I don't care what you say.
I hate to say this to you. I hate to do it, but... there's breaking AB news.
And now, this hour's Antonio Brown update.
So, Curtis, AB has shared a story.
Yes, this is the end of the AB era has finally arrived. December 2nd, 2019, a day that will live in infamy.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown reposted someone else's
Instagram story
where there is a... rumor about what occurred with Mr. Kraft inside the parlor.
Yes.
In Jupiter. I'll leave
yes.
it at that.
Yes.
And there is now, if the picture in the tweet that he since deleted was a reason for him not coming back, This will prevent him from being allowed in Foxborough ever again.
Ever again.
He is taking the bridge and burning it down.
Is a repost, like, does that mean he agrees with
endorses it?
Retweets do not equal endorsements.
Does that mean it equals an endorsement?
Well, he probably just reposted it. Probably watched the first 5 seconds and then reposted it because it was positive about him. He didn't watch the whole thing, but that's a big mistake.
This coming from Wiggy, who said at the time that the tweet by AB that he deleted wasn't even a shot at Kraft.
Well, it was shedding light on.
He was just reporting the story.
Yes, the difference between owners and players. But at the end of the day, listen, if you don't have AB, I don't know what to tell you. Julian Edelman, how much can this guy do? Really?
Yeah, I know.
He's getting double teams, getting triple teams. He's running down the middle of the field and running routes that he shouldn't be. And how much can this, besides Julian Edelman and James White at times, I mean, if it wasn't for those two guys or if it wasn't for Edelman, who knows where this offense would be. Lacoste is horrible. I'd rather them bring me a Christian back. We could do better. I could do better than
you. Could you shake or bake your way to 8 open yards? Right?
I could get open.
You
could. I could catch the ball being wide open in the flat. It wouldn't hit me in the helmet and go up in the air.
Could you catch the 4th and 2 to Sanu?
Yes. Yes, I could catch that.
I mean, Edelman, I hate to say it. Edelman should not be a deep threat. And yet Brady is having a check.
That should be AB running down the middle of the field. That's who it should be.
Ended that, remember?
No, listen, I'm not. I told you, this is the taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
Yeah.
I'm Denzel Washington. We're going to ride this thing.
You got to see the original.
This is the money train.
Well, I mean, is there any positive? Can you take any positive from?
No.
They fought to the bitter end.
Yeah, I mean, they fought to the bitter end, but they always fight. The defense played well. I thought they did, relatively a good job on Deshaun Watson. When you look at overall defensively of how they played, the interception.
They gave up 4 passing touchdowns. Well, quarterback rating was 140.
But one of the touchdown passes that they gave up, they got a short field. The other one to Jonathan Jones, I mean, he dropped that thing right in on a dime. That touchdown, the one to both of the tight ends, they might have been wide open. Oh, no, one was the running back and the other one was the tight end.
Duke Johnson, then the tight end, and then they dropped the bucket to Stills after Jonathan Jones had just broken it up to Fuller.
Right, and it was those two were a good play. And the one to Fuller that Jones was right there should have been holding because Van Noy was getting hogtied coming around the edge. But, it is what it is.
Have you, during your golden years, your playing years, have you been on the receiving end of a Tom Brady dressing down like occurred last night?
No, because early in his career, he wasn't really dressing down like that. But then again, I was getting open. There was a little, I wasn't the fastest guy, but I knew what the meaning of separation meant. And that's what you don't see. Who was doing the game last night? Was Chris Collinsworth?
Yeah.
And granted, I'm no huge Collinsworth fan, but he wasn't lying when he said that these receivers can't get any separation. The interception that Brady threw to N'Keal Harry, come on, dude. Like, get open.
But Bradley Roby read that from the snap.
And how's he read it? Because you don't run a good route. The only way a guy reads it is because your route is trash.
Oh, so it was a lazy route, and then he was able to.
How are you going
to
read something?
Undercut it.
Yeah, and if you're not physical and you don't set him up, it's like the ball Brady threw to Jacoby Myers, that corner route in the end zone, and Collinsworth makes a comment like, Jonathan Joseph's right there ran the route for him. Of course he ran the route for him because all he did was run 10 yards up and hung a right to the back of the pylon. So,
and Greg, Wiggy has been dressed down by Brady. Just listen to this.
Wow. What's up, Tom? Well, Tom, I could do what Lacoste could do. I can guarantee that.
I say get you out there.
Listen.
I mean, how long would it take?
It wouldn't take.
I mean, we're talking
how
about,
long would it take to run to the flat and catch the football?
No, but I mean, to get yourself in game shape.
What does he do that I have to get in game shape?
Well,
maybe run one seam and one flat route?
I thought the knees were done.
Well, you're not asking me to do much. It's not like he's out there. It's not like he's doing what Gronk did or he's doing what, George Kittle does. He's setting edges, and he's all over the place. He's going in motion. He's missing blocks, and he's dropping balls in the flat. I can do that.
Wiggy shows up at TV12. Alex, we have a lot of work to do. What up?
Yeah, listen, it doesn't. I can catch the ball. And that's what Tom needs, guys. It seems like they can just create a little separation. I just can't take it no more.
Come out on Saturday at the Jingle All the Way 5K, and we'll walk, run together.
That's too long. I can run 5 yards, Greg. You're talking about, what, 3 miles?
Ain't happening.
Yeah, then I'll really. I'm already on 2 hot medications.
That's because of the mac and cheese.
That's a black mac attack. It's getting to me.
How was it? How was Thanksgiving?
It was good. How was y'all?
It was great.
Yeah,
it was great.
It was so good. Yeah. I had a lot of black mac attack.
Well, yeah, good. Yeah,
I'm paying for it now, but that's what the New Year's is for. Resolutions, right?
Live your life. All right.
Go crowd the gym for 3 weeks and then leave.
But I am going to blame one person for all this, and I never thought I would blame this person in my life. Because I adore and admire that person so much.
Who is it?
Well, I'll tell you on Dale and Keith, though. Oh. Can't give you everything, Greg.
Okay.
You like that
big market
that was
tease? I'm learning.
That was a tease.
I'm learning.
That's your new radio nickname, Big Market Tease.
I like that. I'm learning.
B-A-T.
I learned something. You don't think I come in here and take notes when I'm doing this with you?
Listen, that'll get you some of that big market radio money that I heard you talking about on Friday morning.
Yes. Can you believe something?
I was driving around listening to you.
Jesus.
$30 million
for what the hell's his name?
It was Rome, I think you were talking about.
Yeah. What? Oh my God. For somebody to literally take 10 seconds between every other thought and call people clones?
That's right. Rack them.
Load them up. Dale and Keefe with Wiggy is next. If you missed any of our show this morning, then you can hear the entire thing on the radio.com app using the new Rewind feature. And if you don't have the app yet, just text APP to 37937. That's APP to 37937. A reminder that standard message and data rates may apply. And you'll be in with us tomorrow morning, Wiggy?
Yes. Isn't the governor in tomorrow?
I think we do have.
Is it not?
No, it's not. But the mayor is coming in before the end of the month.
In a couple weeks.
Because he wants to hear your thoughts on bicyclists.
Yeah, and I was going to get him on about that tobacco thing.
Yes, so the mayor will be in with you, I think, on a Tuesday coming up before the end
of
the month.
Excellent.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.